If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Topic that we are going to delve into today or in the upcoming episodes probably is Nazr, and that's what we are going to do according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we continue our program, let's take a listen to short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. So,
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, let's talk about what Nazr is, or a vow, and how is it made? What's the formula of a nazr, and how should one go about pronouncing it?
Well, the word nazr is an Arabic word, and it's also used in Farsi and Urdu, as far as I know. Nazr actually in different countries has sometimes different meanings, mm-hmm. okay? Because when you speak, when you use the word nazr in the Indian subcontinent, many people understand that there is food, free food available.
Yes.
And so they think they are reminded of free food and so on. But in Arabic concept, the word nazr means a vow made by an individual. So I think instead of nazr, we can use the word vow, okay? So maybe we have to use the word vow and nazr interchangeably mm-hmm. In order for the audience to understand that we yes. mean vow. It is a kind of promise, okay? And a vow actually means making it obligatory upon right. oneself to do a good act or to refrain from doing an act which is better not to be done, okay? Mm-hmm. And that should be done with the intention of drawing close to Allah, and with for the sake of Allah and for the pleasure of Allah. Okay, so because it is something that is preferred to do, it is not something in between. Okay,
right.
Neither good nor bad. It is either good to do or it's better not to do it. So either way, it is then nazr can take place.
Right.
Now while making a vow. There should be a formula. Actually, the formula is a kind of declaration that is pronounced by the individual. And according to the religious authorities, the formula is not necessary to be recited in Arabic, and it can be pronounced in any language. But if it is recited in any language other than Arabic, it should be, and it should give the same meaning as that of the Arabic formula. So if a person says, for example, when my patient or my brother, my sister, and one of my relatives, let's say, recovers from an ailment, from a disease, mm-hmm. It will be obligatory upon me to pay $10 to a poor person. For the sake of Allah, okay, then his vow will take place. It will be in order. Because first of all, it's very important to note that the word Allah must be mentioned in the formula of the nazr, okay?
Mm, I see.
Yeah. And this is a kind of conditional, nazr. It's a kind of conditional statement.
Right.
Because there is an if clause and there is a result clause. You know, if the if clause takes place, then the result clause will be there. Now, if my brother recovers from the illness, it will be obligatory upon me to, let's say, to feed 40 people,
right.
okay, for the sake of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a kind of nazr, and it is mandatory to do it and to comply with it. Now, also sometimes you can say, for example, the person who makes a vow, he can say, for example, nadartu lillahi an af'al so-and-so. Nadartu lillahi, it means that I have made a vow to Allah that I will do such and such. Okay, so this is not a conditional sentence. There's no if clause, there's no result clause. So you have just undertaken to do something,
mm-hmm.
undertaken to fulfill to a commitment that you made or a pledge that you made, okay? This is also a kind of nazr because you have even used the word nazr in the formula. Nazartu lillahi and afwal kaza wa kaza. Kaza wa kaza means I will do so and so, inshallah, for
right.
the sake of Allah and for God's pleasure.
Okay.
So the nazr will be in order, it will take place.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back to continue our program on this radio, English radio, our program, Islamic Laws. Stay with us.
La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Jawid, our guest speaker. The topic that we are touching on is Nadhr and the religious laws about it. Sheikh Jawid, you know, does a vow or a Nadhr become obligatory once one individual utters or articulates, for example, the phrase Ya Rab, or Lord?
Okay.
Or Ya Allah, for example, all right?
Yeah.
And a similar question, is it permissible for one person to revoke, all right, or has this individual the right to revoke it, to revoke a vow that has been made in the past?
Yes, that's a good question. Well, Nazr becomes obligatory when a specific formula is recited, indicating commitment or a pledge to perform an act for the sake of Allah, as I said.
Yes.
And of course, the formula includes the name of Allah, the special name of Allah, okay? If you use one of the attributes of Allah, like, for example, Ya Rab, mm-hmm. or one of the attributes, another attribute, like, for example, Ya Khaliq, because we know God is Khaliq, God is the sustainer, God is the provider. But
creator,
these are attributes, and these are not the specific names, okay? So if you use those words instead of Allah, then the vow will not take place. It's not going to be binding, you know? Some people, you know, use the word Quran or one of the names of the infallible imams, and they think that, okay, because I have used the name of, let's say, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, so it's obligatory upon me to comply with the vow I have made. That's not the case, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the nazr does not become
obligatory.
So you have to understand the difference between Allah and other names, and also the names of the infallible imams. If you mention those names, it will not become obligatory upon you to comply with the nazar, to go ahead and do it. And when it comes to the second part of your question, because you said that whether it is permissible for a person to revoke or to abrogate or cancel his vow, of course, no. Once the nazar is established and it is proved to be obligatory, then it cannot be abrogated,
mm-hmm.
okay? Unless you are rendered incapable, unless you are incapacitated in an absolute sense, you are no longer capable of performing that nazr.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, of course, you are not supposed to do anything. But as long as you can do it, as long as
what can they do in that case? Should they give some money to somebody else as a proxy to do it for them?
There's nothing else you should do, because you are incapacitated.
I see.
And in that case, it's not obligatory for you to comply with it.
I see. Regarding the first part of my question and your nice answer to that, you said that if there isn't the word Allah, or, you know, specifically,
yes,
like even if you say something else which means Allah, it doesn't make that vow obligatory.
Yes.
But I've seen some people, I've heard that some people, for example, when they lost something, they make a vow, not to God. They say that, for example, for one of the infallibles, I say, for example, 100 salawats, right, to find it.
Yes.
And so is this vow obligatory for them?
No, never. It's not obligatory.
Without using or mentioning the name of Allah.
The name of Allah. It's not obligatory, okay? So, as I said, because, you know, according to general public, okay, because people do not have, you know, precise knowledge of Islam,
right?
So the laity especially, they think that, okay, such a vow is obligatory, it's mm-hmm. binding, and one should comply with it. But that's not the case, because the formula has to be recited, and mm-hmm. that formula should contain the word Allah, okay?
Mm-hmm.
contain the word. Otherwise, it's not binding. It's not obligatory.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Thank you very much for your nice answers to these questions of Islamic laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو